said, pray for Speedy. I thought he was going to say message, but he didn't. So I'll give you all of it. I feel all right, and so you can put up with me today. And my voice is a little bit weak, but we're going to go to Judges chapter 3. We've been working our way through the book of Judges, and we're going to look at one verse today, verse 31. And you know, history is full of amazing exploits by a few men against great odds. In fact, I was watching some documentaries on the Revolutionary War here a couple weeks ago, and you look at a weaker, inferior army, the colonists, against the British army and everything that they had, and you look back and you see the providence of God in giving victory to the colonists and how God has used this nation. But as you go through history and you look at, you know, and sometimes the few have been victorious, other times they've gone down in defeat. But in either case, we admire their courage, we admire their effort against sometimes supernatural enemies. But man can never be successful under his own power and his own strength. You know, you look at Scripture and Jonathan and his armor bearer, and his armor bearer was probably just a young boy. But Jonathan and his armor bearer killed 20 Philistines. You continue and you walk through Scripture, and in one day Elijah single-handedly slaughters 850 prophets of Baal. Odds are completely against him, but it was in God's power and God's strength. Of course, you know of a boy named David. He's up against a giant named Goliath. He doesn't have armor on. All he has is a sling and a stone, and he takes this giant out. And so in our study in Judges, we'll get to other men that were up against great odds. Think of Gideon. He has 300 men, dwindled down from 32,000, and yet he wipes out a massive, unnumbered amount of Midianites and Amalekites. Samson had his own issues, but he slaughtered 1,000 Philistines with what? A jawbone of a donkey. And so we come to our text. Now this is the third judge we've looked at today in Judges 3, verse 31. It says, after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 men of the Philistines with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. That's all it says about him. In fact, if you walk through the book of Judges, there is one other verse in Judges 5 that mentions his name. It just says, in the days of Shamgar. And so really, two verses in Scripture mention his name. One is given to what he did compared to some other judges that have 55 verses, 80 verses. You're pointing to your ear. I'm supposed to turn this on, huh? Good thing Kevin's keeping me on the ball. Should be good. All right. And so these other judges, a lot of verses given to them, most of them. Some have two or three. But here's Shamgar. And I just want to propose to you today that Shamgar had limited resources. We're going to look at how he was limited. He was limited in training, talent, and tools. And yet God used this man mightily. And you see just a glimpse here, but we'll get into how God used this man with limited resources. And really the application today then is God uses people with limited resources. You know, we can stop and say, well, what do I have? How can God use me? I want to challenge you today that God can use you, and it's in his power and his strength that really anything is accomplished. So let's pray. We're going to look at this judge named Shamgar. Lord, thank you for the opportunity today to be able to open your word and to look at this historical book. I pray that today each one of us would be encouraged by your word. We see a man here that was limited in many ways, and yet you used him to deliver your people. Lord, maybe there's people here today that just, they don't feel like they can be used. They don't have certain talents or abilities or gifts, but we know that in your hands we can do all things
through Christ who strengthens us. Whatever you've called us to do, you'll enable us to do. So may we be encouraged today and then challenged as well to use what you have given to us for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first thing I want to look at here, Shamgar had limited training. I mean, he came from a pagan family. So after him was Shamgar. After who? Ehud. And we looked at Ehud last week before, I guess, that we looked at Ehud. But he had limited training. He came from a pagan family. And really his identity isn't known. As I said, there's one verse here that we can look to. But who is this guy? If I asked you to, before the service, if I said, I want you to name the different judges in the book of Judges, there's probably some here that on Shamgar wouldn't even come to mind. And you'd name Gideon and Barak, and you'd talk about Samson. But Shamgar wouldn't even come to mind. We don't know a lot about him. Who is this guy? He's given no tribal connection. The other two judges we've looked at, one came from Judah, largest tribe, another one from Benjamin, smallest tribe. But we have no tribal connection. We don't know anything about this guy. He does not appear to be an Israelite. If you look, he has a Gentile name. So Daniel Block, in his commentary on Judges, he argues that the name is of Hurrian descent. It has it's built on, Daniel Block says, trilateral roots and has four strong consonants, S-M-G-R. And so if you look at some ancient Nuzi texts, it would appear that Shamgar is more than likely from a Hurrian descent. He's not Israelite. This is a Gentile name. The other two judges have they're Israelites. They're from the tribe of Israel, God's chosen people. So he has a Gentile name. He's not an Israelite by birth. You look, he has no direct link to a tribe. As I said, the other two, Othniel, tribe of Judah, largest tribe. Ehud, tribe of Benjamin, although it's the smallest tribe, they're linked to a tribe of Israel. They're God's chosen people. Here's this guy that really, and he's of Hurrian descent. He's not part of God's chosen people. He's actually a person who should have been driven out of the land. And so you look at this guy. He's limited training. You also look at the text. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath. Any idea who Anath is? Well, you look and you study this. He comes from a family that's dedicated to the service of Anath. Now, there's two different ideas here. Some people believe son of Anath. Now, Anath was a goddess of mainly sex and war, worshipped by the Hurrians, but also this had trickled over into the Egyptian pantheon of gods, a protector of Pharaoh as well. And so some people believe that Shamgar was in a troop that was named after Anath. And so if this was the case, then he was some great warrior that was in this troop dated around, I believe, right around 1160 B.C., 1166 to 1160 B.C. So there's inscriptions which read PRW of the troop of Anath, 800 men, part of this Egyptian army. And so as a warrior in that troop, if you will, he would be called a son of Anath. Other people, and this is what I hold to, his father's name was Anath. His father was named after this goddess of sex and war. And so he probably grew up in this pagan culture. He wasn't brought up with a godly heritage, a godly history. And so here's this guy, probably his father's named after this false god. He grew up in this environment of pagan worship. Whatever the case, we know he was by no means brought up in a godly influence. So you have two judges. They're Israelites. They're linked with a tribe. They're God's chosen people. Now you have this guy Shamgar, and he has no godly heritage. He's not linked with a tribe. Probably has a a pagan background, a pagan influence. He's limited in training as far as God, a God-fearing heritage. And maybe you're here today and you didn't grow up in a Christian home. But let me ask you a question. What matters? Now, and don't get me wrong, I grew up in a Christian home, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the teaching that I had as I grew up. But what matters more, your earthly pedigree or your heavenly pedigree? What matters more? Right? And so what matters is you belong to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Can God use you even if you didn't grow up in and have that godly heritage? What's the answer to that? Absolutely. Here's a guy who didn't have that pedigree that the other two had. He's not linked to a tribe. He's not part of God's chosen people, and yet God uses him. So Shamgar had limited training. He had a pagan family. Shamgar had limited talent. He has a peasant's occupation. You look at this guy, he's not a child of a king. He doesn't have some lineage of great rulers. It's probable that Shamgar himself is following these oxen as these 600 Philistines come in to spy out the land and see how they can take it. His occupation is that of a peasant farmer. He's following two oxen that are plowing up the land, and that's where he gets his ox goad that we'll see in a little bit. But he lacked position. He doesn't come from some elite background, some great, powerful lineage. He's more than likely a peasant farmer. He lacked possession. He's a low man in society. But God put it into his heart to oppose these enemies of Israel. As I said, there's 600 Philistines probably sent in to scope the area out and see exactly how they're going to infiltrate this area. But Shamgar is there. And God puts it in his heart. And this man is probably, we have one verse here, really puny in the sight of man. And he's really, in the sight of man, he's nothing. He's nothing but a farmer with a stick and a couple of chud-cooing oxen. Did you catch that? I said it three times before I got it right. You know, I'm reminded, how's that little song go? Little as much when God is in it. How's the rest of that go? Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for earthly gain or wealth and fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. And you might not have much. You might be puny in the sight of man, but little as much when God is in it. God took a man, really, here compared to the other judges we've looked at, is nothing. And yet God uses him. Shamgar had limited training, he had limited talent, and he has limited tools. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 men of the Philistines with what? With an ox goad. What is an ox goad? And he has pathetic tools. This guy knows what an ox goad is. What is it? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Stubborn ox. Boy, should we have those for kids? Huh? You ever get stubborn kids? No, this ox goad, he's out plowing the field and these things decide they want to break. He takes that sharp stick, gives them a jab or two, they keep moving, right? So it's pointed on one end. The other end had kind of a chisel end. And if you've ever ran a plow or a disc, sometimes that clay builds up and you take some form of chisel and you scrape that plow off. I have a disc at home and there's a blade built right into that scrapes that clay off of that disc, but they didn't have that. So the oxen there, are pulling this disc, and he has an ox goad to prod him along, and the other end's a chisel to scrape the clay off. And that's what he had. Pathetic tools. You look at this guy, he didn't have any armor. Doesn't have proper armor. He doesn't have proper weapons. He doesn't have a sword, doesn't have a shield. All he has is this ox goad, which is about 8 feet long, about 2 inches in diameter, pointed on one end, chisel on the other. And you know, you stop and think about what he had. Didn't have much, but what he had, he is willing to use for God. He could have complained. He could have said, you know what, I can't do this. All I have is this stupid ox goad. I don't have the right armor. I don't have the right tools. I don't have the right weapons. But, you know, Matthew Henry says this. He said, God can make those eminently serviceable to his glory and his church's good whose extraction, education, and employment are very mean and obscure. Let me read that again. God can make those eminently serviceable to his glory and his church's good whose extraction, education, and employment are very mean and obscure. He goes on and he says that he that has the residue of the Spirit could, when he pleased, make plowmen judges and generals and fishermen apostles. Think about people that God has used down through history. And he took fishermen and tax collectors. And he took a shepherd boy. Believers must remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Anything that God has called us to do, he will enable us to do it through the power of the Spirit. God can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so we come to the so what, and I still have 25 minutes. I don't know if I'll use it all, but I'm going to spend some time on the application here. Shamgar lived in a pagan era. And so do we. Do we live in a pagan society? There is evil all around us. You stop and you think of the era that Shamgar lived in, and we live in a very pagan era. There's evil all over the place. And you might not see 600 Philistines cresting the hill when you're out in your garden, but there's evil everywhere around us. We have an enemy that's going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Shamgar lived in a pagan era, and so do we. Shamgar was called to action, and so are we. We haven't been called to sit and complain and watch for someone else to do the work. And Shamgar could have kept, you know what, I'm just minding my own business, I'm plowing my field. He could have just kept doing that, saying, I don't have the right equipment, I don't have the right tools, I don't have the right background. I'm going to let somebody else do it. He didn't do that. He took what he had and he used it to defeat the enemy. You know, God's word tells us that the gates of hell will not prevail against Jesus Christ and his church. Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus, he says, who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're Elijah, a prophet. Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that was Jesus' response. Upon this confession, Peter, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Who's going to have the victory? Do we know the end of the story? Who's going to have the victory? You know, C.T. Studd said this, some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. And he said, I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. We are called to stand against evil. We are called to speak the truth in love. God's given us, and with the Spirit, whatever he's called us to do, he'll enable us. He will empower us. We are called to stand against evil. We're called to speak the truth in love. We are called to live out our faith. Will he give you the enablement to do that? Absolutely. Shamgar lived in a pagan era, just as we are. Shamgar was called to action, to live in that pagan era, just as we are. We have absolutely no excuse. No excuses at all. You can't say, I don't have the training, I don't have the talent, I don't have the tools. If you say that, I would ask this question: what kind of person does God use? Look at the men that God has used so far, a man from the biggest tribe to the smallest tribe to no tribe. We started out with Othniel, a man with proven ability, a godly heritage. Then we went to Ehud, a man from a disintegrating tribe, the smallest tribe, and a disability, to a man now named Shamgar with limited training, talent, and tools. And God has used different people all throughout history. You know, Hudson Taylor, missionary to China, wrote, God is sufficient for God's work. God is sufficient for God's work. Taylor went on to say this: God used me because I am weak enough. God used me because I am weak enough. That's not what you'd think, would you? You'd think God used me because I'm strong enough. He said, no, because I'm weak enough. He said, God doesn't do his great works by committees. He trains someone to be quiet enough and little enough, and then he uses them. Hudson also said, God's work alone, done in God's way, will never lack God's supply. 1 Corinthians 1:27 tells us, God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, God went and he told Moses, I want you to go and deliver my people. What did Moses say at first? I'm slow of speech. I can't talk. I'm not eloquent. You know, Moses spent 40 years thinking that he was something. Then God sends him to the desert to find out that he's nobody. And then God uses a nobody. Yeah, he was, you know what? He couldn't do it without God. But with God, he was a mighty leader, wasn't he? In Joshua 6:15, or in Judges 6:15, Gideon questions how can God save Israel? He says, I'm from the weakest clan. I'm the least in my family. God used Gideon mightily. When he was ready to be used by God. So let me ask a question. In what ways do you feel inadequate? What ways do you feel like, I can't serve God? I can't do it. There's no way. I don't have the tools. I don't have the training. I don't have the ability. What strengths has he given you? Maybe this is a better way to ask it. What can't you do when God's called you to do it? Is there anything that you cannot do when God's called you to do it? What's the answer to that? Are you awake? Is there anything that you cannot do when God has called you to do it? What's the answer to that? There's nothing that you cannot do when God's called you to do it. He'll strengthen you. He will enable you. You know, on the flip side, though, you may have more tools, talents, training than the next guy, but if your resources are polluted by pride or limited by fear or rendered ineffective by sin, doesn't matter how talented you are, you're useless in the hands of God. And so really the reality is, if you're like Shamgar, and you're limited in every single way, and you might think, I have very little to offer to God, then you're usable. Then God can use you. So we need to be encouraged by the fact that God uses limited resources. You know, I read this little poem, Shamgar had an ox goad, David had a sling. Samson had a jawbone, Rahab had a string. Mary had some ointment, Aaron had a rod, Dorcas had a needle, and all were used for God. They had little, but God used them all. Surely you can use what God has given you. And shouldn't that really be our rightful response with this great salvation that we've been given? By God's grace, we're saved through faith. And what is our rightful response to this great salvation that we've been given is to use whatever we have for God's glory. To quote Hudson Taylor again, he said, "Many Christians estimate difficulties in the light of their own resources and thus attempt little and often fail in the little they attempt." Then he says, "All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on His power and presence with them." And really, to summarize that statement, a lot of people won't even put forth an effort, or they fail in what they do because they don't do it with God's power and presence. But when we rely on the Spirit, God can use us. Charles Spurgeon, giving a lecture one time to a group of pastors, he challenged them. He said, "Give whatever tools you have to the Lord. Stand your ground courageously and trust God to use what's in your hand to accomplish great things for His glory." You know, Warren Wiersbe, he said this while paraphrasing E.M. Bounds. He said, "The world is looking for better methods, but God is looking for better men and women who understand the basics. The power of the Holy Spirit, wise strategy, and steadfast courage." When we give everything we have to God, when we allow the Holy Spirit to use us, God can use us, can't He? Again, you look down through the centuries. Look down through the centuries of the church as a whole. You walk through Scripture, and God uses people with limited resources. God has used people mightily for His honor and His glory. What do you have? God's given each one of us a limited time on this planet. God has given us any gift, talent, ability that we have, that's God-given. What should we be using it for? For His glory. You know, I remember I got saved in 1990. And I had this pastor who had been discipling me, and he said, "Steve, I want you to preach an evening service." I said, "I can't do that. You kidding me?" And I didn't hardly talk to myself. But when you surrender to be used by God, He will use you. It might not be speaking in public, but it might be behind the scenes. But use what you have for God's glory. God uses limited resources. It's when we think that we have it all together and we have all the tools that we can't be used. But God will use limited resources. What do you have? I just challenge each one of us today to surrender everything that we have and let it be used for God's glory. Shamgar didn't have much. You know, Ehud, he was considered to have a disability. But whatever we have, if we give it to God, God will use it. So let's remember that God uses limited resources. No excuses. You live in a pagan era, just like Shamgar. But you've been called to action, just like Shamgar. We have a limited opportunity to reach this world for Christ, to share the good news of the gospel, to live out our faith, to defend the truth. And we can do that with whatever God has given us when we allow the Holy Spirit to work through in and through us. God uses limited resources. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for the fact that You want to use us. You can accomplish whatever You want to without us, but what a privilege it is to be used by You. And so I pray for each one here today, myself included, that we would be ready and willing to use anything that you have given us, anything that we have for your glory, we can do nothing apart from you. But through your Holy Spirit, we can be used. We can see your church built. We can see people saved and discipled and to grow. So may we just be willing to be used like Shamgar. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Brian.